Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. On the program, I have Jamie Coffey. Jamie is a public address announcer that has worked major events, such as the NCAA Women's Final Four, Pac-12 Men's and Women's Basketball Tournaments, also the Women's College World Series, USA Rugby, and U.S. Lacrosse, just to name a few. On the program, we discuss her upbringing, introduction to broadcasting, and public address announcing, also serving as the public address announcer for the WNBA Sacramento Monarchs, becoming the first woman to serve as a public address announcer for an NBA game. Her experience in the WNBA bubble in Bradenton, Florida. Well, of course, we also discuss Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. And also, we've got some a message that she would like to share for anyone wanting to achieve their dreams and much more. Jamie is coming up after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Robinson Show.
Now time to send things over to Jamie Coffey.
And now, let's meet the LSU Tiger starters. And 4'6" sophomore from Baltimore, Maryland, number 10, Angel Reese. And guard, a 5'10" freshman from Savannah, Georgia, number 4, Blase. And guard, a 5'6" fifth-year senior from Beaumont, Texas, number 45, Alexis Morris. And now let's meet the starters for the Iowa Hawkeyes. At center, 6'3" grad student from Watertown, Minnesota, number 25, Monica Silvano. And guard, a 5'9" senior from Cincinnati, Ohio.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of ABC Sports, ESPN, and the Walt Disney Company, and that was Jamie Coffey announcing the LSU and Iowa starting lineups for the 2023 NCAA Women's Basketball National Championship that took place on April the 2nd of 2023 at the American Airlines Center in Dallas, Texas. And, of course, you heard Jamie doing her thing, and we're going to talk to her more about just important events that she's worked on, including her introduction to broadcasting, also public address announcing, and much more. Let's welcome her to the program. She is an acclaimed public address announcer for many events, many leagues, such as the NBA, the WNBA, Women's College World Series, just to name a few, indeed a broadcast professional. Let's welcome her to the program, Jamie Coffey. Hey, Jamie, welcome to the program.
Good to be with you.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So before we talk about your career in broadcasting and being introduced to public address announcing, every story has a beginning. What was your upbringing like?
You know, my love of broadcast and entertaining kind of started at a very young age. I remember as a child interviewing my friends with my tape recorder, long before we had digital and all that other good stuff, but it was literally my little tape recorder, and I would do these radio shows, most of them probably cooking shows, because you can hear my parents yelling at me in the background that something's burning. But I actually even talk before I walk. So I earned the nickname as a child of Motor Mouth, and who knew that that mouth was going to help propel me to a national stage like you just heard there. NCAA, I can't believe I saw the ratings for the women's final, and it was like 9.9 million. So that motor mouth put me in front of millions of people, and it's taken me through a career that's extended decades.
The numbers are indeed phenomenal. for that game that had taken place, over 9 million watched. And it goes to show you that women's sports has come a long way, and it's going to continue to grow, hopefully continuing on this momentum shift. And it's definitely put you in the forefront, as well, as you mentioned, to a very rewarding and still a very productive career. And I just want to ask you now, you mentioned about your upbringing, and you mentioned about interviewing people, and particularly your parents, quarter learning to talk before you walk. And so your introduction to broadcasting, what was the moment that you realized was like, you know what, I can do this as a career? Like, what was that moment or moments when you were like, okay, this is something serious. I've got these gifts, these skills, these talents, and that abilities that I just need to maximize it and take it to the next level. So what was your formal introduction to broadcasting like?
You know, I always kind of knew what I wanted to do as a kid to some degree. I originally thought I wanted to be a television news anchor. So I did. I went to school. Right out of high school, I went to Fresno State, and I got a degree in journalism with an emphasis in radio, TV, news. And during my senior year of college, I did an internship at a local television station in Fresno, and I followed around some reporters as part of that internship. And so I really truly thought that I wanted to be in TV news somehow. But when I graduated, the TV station that I had interned for, they had a radio station as well. It was an all news radio station, and it was in Fresno, California. And I was offered a position there, and it paid $5 an hour. And I'm thinking, I have a college degree and I'm making $5 an hour. That is sad. But again, it was a long time ago. And I took the job, and I, you know, climbed the ladder, and eventually I left news and I went into music radio. And at age 25, I was offered a job. I was doing morning radio. It was a kind of guy-girl morning combo type thing that was big back in the 90s. And I took a job at Top 10 Market. I lived in Houston for about 6 months. They flipped that station to Spanish, and so now I was without a job. So at that point, I had to figure out, what do I want to continue doing? Do I want to stay in broadcast? What do I want to do? I did have three opportunities on the table. And it took me back to California, which was where I knew I really wanted to be. And so I ended up in Sacramento, California. That was in 1998. And from there, I did some a little more time in music radio, but then eventually went back to where it all started in news radio. And I had the opportunity to dabble a little bit in sports when I was doing that, because the sports anchor was out. And so I get to do the sports reports on the station. And my love of sports, I've always had it growing up and playing, but I propelled it into broadcast, and I thought, And so when the WNBA team in town had a opening for a PA announcer, this was in 2001, a friend of mine encouraged me to put in for it. And lo and behold, I got the job. You know, I didn't know much about basketball. I'm 5'3". I didn't grow up playing it. And I ended up getting that PA announcer job in the WNBA, my first job as a PA announcer, and spent about 9 years with the team until they disbanded. And, you know, along the way, I met some great people, and some new opportunities presented themselves. And that's kind of how the PA announcing unfolded.
Wow, that's amazing how you went through those changes and a casualty in the broadcasting industry, specifically in radio, as you alluded to earlier about when companies, they flip formats. Boy, that's definitely a stressful time for a lot of broadcasters and people that are involved just in the on-air and the production work of things. I'm going to get more into the NBA or WNBA, specifically basketball in the city of Sacramento, in just a moment. But I want to piggyback to what you were saying about it was just heartbreaking that you're fresh out of college and you're only making $5 an hour for working a job and you couldn't believe it. Had social media been around at that time when you were fresh out of college, do you think you would have, the trajectory would have been that same? Or should I say, had you taken the path to work at that radio station, considering what was going to be on the horizon, or would you would have tried your hand at social media and maybe finding ways to monetize your gifts?
You know, I think that I was, even though it was $5, I was still extremely grateful. I mean, at the time, five sounds horrible right now. You could not function on $5 an hour. But, you know, I finally got a raise to $7 an hour, and I just thought that was great. But at age 25, when I went into Houston, and my offer was for, it was a contract for $75,000 a year, and I was 25 years old at the time. And for me, when it rolled across, and I say it, the offer came across the fax machine. I mean, I'm dating myself with all this, but I just looked at my mom and I couldn't believe my eyes at how much money. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be rich. And I kind of giggle at that, but I don't know if things had been different, because to be honest, I'm glad things went the way they went. And I'm glad I got a taste of top 10 market radio. And I left radio and still continued to do PA announcing, but I left radio in 2005, October of 2005, and took a job working for the state of California, and still able to use my degree. I still work in a communications field, but I decided leaving radio for me was difficult, because I truly enjoy entertaining the masses and just, you know, being witty, thinking off the top of my head. And I left radio for stability, because I wanted to buy a house and I wanted to put down some roots. And I was good with living in Sacramento. I was very proud every time I drove in and saw the Capitol in the city. And I knew this was where I wanted to be at that moment. And I didn't want to risk, because, you know, I worked at several radio stations. I've worked, gotten off the air and gone into the director's office, and he decides we're going to go a different direction. And next thing you know, you're packing your boxes and you're leaving the building. I mean, it's just, if the ratings aren't there, they switch gears, and sometimes they don't give it enough time. But I don't know how it is now. I know a lot of the people that I worked with at the time are no longer in radio. Everyone has kind of gone their separate ways. But I wouldn't change anything the way I did it. And obviously now, you know, I've done a podcast before. I've done some narrating of audiobooks. I still found a way to stay behind a microphone no matter what. I was, fortunately, before I left radio, I got into PA announcing, because I don't know if that opportunity would have been there had I left, you know, before getting my first PA announcer spot. But even just doing the PA announcing on the side wasn't enough for me. So that's why I got into I did a podcast for a brief time, started narrating audiobooks. I've done a few of those. Any opportunity to do voiceover, I do. I took one of the rooms in my house and turned it into a studio, just because I wanted to continue working behind a microphone for as long as I possibly can.
Wow, that's awesome. And I think one of the pities for people that want to get into the broadcasting industry, of course, let's give credit to the social media platforms. There's so many ways that people can make money and monetize off of those platforms. But when you've actually been at a physical radio station or even a television station, you get to see how the operation goes. You have such a deep appreciation for not just the talent, but the people that work behind the scenes that really make this thing come to life. And definitely, as you said, it worked out. It all worked out to what you're doing currently. Well, what you've done and what you're currently doing as being the dress announcer. And I want to talk now just about public address announcing. So you mentioned that at the suggestion of a friend to audition or try out for the Sacramento Monarchs of the WNBA, and you wind up getting the job. The city of Sacramento, as we've known for so long, is a city that loves basketball. We know about how dedicated the fans are to the Sacramento Kings. And I remember watching a lot of Monarchs games on TV and seeing how those fans were amped up. And boy, the WNBA, that presence was phenomenal in Sacramento. What was the WNBA's presence like when the Monarchs were in Sacramento?
You know, it was great because I love the WNBA for this reason. It's very family friendly. So it's one of those things you can take the kids to. They even have like a whole day it's a kids game. It's, you know, kids day, and the stands are filled with kids. And it's very different than NBA games, you know, different crowd, different. different everything, but for the most part, the Sacramento really loved the Monarchs. You know, for I wish it had never gone away. There were times when they teased us with it coming back, and even to this day, if it ever were to come back, I would go after that job. And it's sad because there's even a woman that there's not a WNBA team with a woman behind the mic right now, which is crazy to me. The only professional sports really, you know, when I talk about professional sports, I'm thinking, you know, football, baseball, basketball. There's a few in Major League Baseball, but no other sports have a woman behind the microphone. And it blows my mind. It's 2023 and it still just isn't more common. So I hope that's something we see change. But Sacramento love the WNBA and they love their Monarchs. And even more so, you know, one of my most memorable moments working for the Monarchs was when we won the championship in 2005. And that was just crazy. And the whole arena was packed and the electricity, and it was just great. And then the parade that followed the championship, and then the next year they went on, they made another run at the championship, and unfortunately that championship didn't end quite the same way. We lost, I believe, to Connecticut that year, and but it was really sad to see it all end.
Yeah, I mean, it was sad. I mean, to see, when I heard that the franchise was leaving the city, if you could answer this question, could you kind of go more into detail on why the Monarchs, or why the WNBA or the franchise left the city of Sacramento?
You know, the owners, they sold it. And I don't, you know, I assume a financial decision. And the sad thing is I found out actually that the team was being disbanded and they kind of dissolved and they sent the players all the different teams throughout the league. But I found out by reading it on the Associated Press wire. And for anyone listening that doesn't know, that's kind of where we all, it's just kind of like a staple where a lot of people get their news from, news outlets, and it's just a wire service. And that's how I found out. And then eventually I got a call from the team, and it just was very impersonal. It was sad. I still have a great relationship with them because that's kind of how the whole NBA thing came about. The Sacramento Kings announcer got sick. It was in 2014. And having worked with them for so long, they knew me, they knew my work, and they said, hey, can you be on standby in case Moke can't go? And PA announcer for the Sacramento Kings, and he apparently got a touch of the flu that day, and I'm like, sure, I can do it. You know, I can get off work a little early because, again, I have a regular job like a regular person. And I said, just let me know. And they said, hey, can you be here at 1 o'clock? And because you get there a few hours prior to game time. And I said, sure. And when I arrived, they're like, hey, by the way, we're going to put out a press release. You know, you're the first woman who's ever served as a PA announcer for the NBA. And I was like, oh, okay. And so now I start getting nervous. I'm thinking, oh, my God, I'm usually the person at this point on the other end of pushing the news out, not the one, you know. So it was weird being the subject, the focus of a story rather than controlling the story. And, yeah, so that was a unique experience. I will never forget that moment. Again, still to this day, not a woman doing it. I mean, if there was a local opportunity, I would go after it in a heartbeat. But there's not a local opportunity for that because I do love with all my heart serving as a PA announcer for the sport of basketball. And I've done it at every level. I've done it at high school level. I've done CIF. I've done college. I've done professional. I even had the opportunity to work again for the WNBA in 2020 when they had the bubble in Bradenton, Florida. That was the WNBA bubble during COVID. And they asked me if I would come out and you know, I worked for a couple of weeks out there to relieve someone who had to go home, one of the PA announcers, because I could not give them 3 months of my life to do that. But I was able to give them a few weeks. And it was one of the most unique experiences I think I've had as a PA announcer.
Congratulations first on that honor of becoming the first woman to serve as a a public address announcer in the NBA for the Sacramento Kings for that specific game on that specific day. And I want to touch on the wobble. We know that 2020 was a year that it will definitely it'll never be forgotten. And you talked about the wobble, and you mentioned that you can only give so many weeks to being in Bradenton, Florida, for the WNBA when the wobble was happening. There was so much going on, not just from in an athletic standpoint, but things just going on in the world, socially and politically, side of the wobble. But did you have an opportunity to talk to some of the players, have some type of interaction with them during the wobble, and just how did you keep yourself mentally in check and mentally focused from what was going on in the world and things that were happening on a constant basis?
Yeah, it was a weird time from the pandemic standpoint, because I was actually, when the whole thing started, I was in, it was March, and I was in Las Vegas working Pac-12 men's basketball tournament, and it was day one. And I remember having to read this statement mid-game or, you know, like halftime regarding day two of the tournament, saying that we were going to continue the tournament. However, we weren't going to be able to allow fans in. So it was just going to be play. And at the end of the day, they let everyone, they basically sent everyone home except me and the DJ. They referred to us as, that was the first time I heard the term, essential personnel. And I was like, oh, I'm essential. I don't know what that means. At the time, I was like, I guess I'm in. And then I woke up the next morning and I got a text and they had decided to cancel the tournament. So basically, I had to rebook my flight home to Sacramento from Vegas. And I just remember standing in the airport thinking, what is happening in the world? What is going on? It was scary. I came back to Sacramento that day, and everything was just kind of unfolding. It was surreal. It was just kind of watching everything shut down, and it was scary, and people were hoarding toilet paper, and it was weird. And then I went back to my regular job, and then that's when teleworking became a thing. And so for about 3 months, I teleworked from my regular job, and the sports world just shut down for a long time until they figured out the whole bubble situation. But I remember getting the call to do the bubble, and there was a lot of, you know, you had to test. They were testing every day, and you had to pass a test and take your temperature, and it was scary because you didn't know. It was this fear of, oh my God, if my temperature is high or if I test positive, what's going to happen? I'm going to have to stay in a hotel room for 2 weeks and I'll go stir crazy. And there were just so many unknowns. And the daily testing was, even the following year when they did have, they resumed tournament play to some degree. It was, we sat at a table and our producers were on the complete opposite side from us. And we had double masks, and that wearing a mask and announcing is far from ideal. I recall pulling it down quite a bit. I'm thinking, well, they tested me this morning and I'm negative, so it's not like I'm giving anyone COVID. So I kept pulling it down, and as long as no one, you know, said anything to me, I was going to continue to do that. But for about 2 years, 2020 and 2021 were the weirdest times in sports announcing, just wearing masks. And I remember 2020 was supposed to be my first time doing the NCAA Final Four for the women in Louisiana, and that one got canceled. So that was heartbreaking to me because that was supposed to be my first time, a dream that I had chased for years, and I finally got the call to do it. And in 2021, they called me back and said, you know, it's on, we're in San Antonio. And so I just had to show proof of my negative test. And we still had to wear masks, though. And I also had to wear a face shield. So I recall, I have several pictures of me where I look like a dentist. It's just not how I wanted to be seen on TV, and because I know that's such a high profile, like people are watching it, and every year the numbers have gotten higher and higher, and I'm thinking this is how the world is seeing me for the first time.
Yeah, and definitely it was a life-changing experience for everybody, whether it be in the sports broadcasting industry or just any industry, any facet of life. Definitely, you know, we will definitely change a lot of people's lives. And I want to stay just with the wobble for a moment. We've heard about the daily testing procedures that happened with the athletes that were involved in the WNBA. That the same testing procedures apply to you being involved in the media?
I didn't, you know, we didn't have to daily test. I will say that at least the 2 weeks I was there. I had to take a test prior, and then after so many days, I had to test again. We were sitting behind plexiglass, which was also another weird thing. And we had, lots of space between us and the next person doing the whole social distancing thing. Even when I would go out for a run in Florida, and it is not cool there by any stretch of the imagination, during my off time, if I went out for a run, I would still wear a mask and while I was running. And, you know, we'd go to restaurants and we'd still have to mask up. And it was just even, you know, flying and everything. But I was not daily tested. I had to do a test and prior to coming home, which I thought was weird, but we weren't allowed to really get near the players, although I did walk past them, but we weren't really allowed to get near them.
Like I said before, that was a life-changing experience for you and for people that were just watching during that pivotal time in our society, and definitely you were a trooper, and again, congratulations to you on, not just to you, but to the athletes that went through that trying time in our society. And, you know, being a public address announcer, it's all about preparation. How do you prepare for big events such as what you went through several years ago with the Wubble, and also working conference tournaments, working with the Sacramento Monarchs in the WNBA, doing the game for the NBA Sacramento Kings? What's your preparation like for events as you're getting ready to do public address announcing?
A lot of my preparation involves it's primarily familiarizing myself with the rosters, pronunciations. I'm very much a stickler on nailing people's names because my thought is if someone's going to hear their name or their family's going to hear their name, because believe me, they will come tell you at varying levels if you mispronounce their child's name. Getting pronunciations right. So I'm big on phonetics. So prior to even going to an event, I'm getting rosters ready because I do keep my own stats, specifically for basketball. I keep, you know, track of my fouls and, you know, player fouls, team fouls, that kind of thing. So rosters, pronunciations, leading up to like NCAA tournaments. And even I do Pac-12 football championship. Even leading up to that, I view a lot of games. I want to see who the players are. I want to see, because when you're not working with a team regularly, like I did with the Monarchs, like I do with the Republic, you know, you're familiar with the home team. You just have to worry about the visiting roster, because you can look at the court or the field or the pitch and see who's out there, and you know them by sight. But when visiting teams come in, you don't know all the players. You know, you've got 22 people on a field during a soccer match. So, you know, it's good to familiarize yourself with the roster. And if you get a chance to take a look at some of the footage of games leading up to, especially tournaments, because when I do tournaments, which I do a lot of tournament stuff, whether it's Pac-12 or NCAA, it's a different style of announcing. Neutral announcing is very different than announcing for a home team. Neutral announcing, I actually kind of like neutral better, to be honest with you, because I can get hyped for both sides. But I've got to really familiarize myself with both teams because I want to be quick on names. So I'm constantly memorizing players when I'm watching them, and So it's just spending a lot of extra time going through things. And I always make a point prior to a game to check with, especially like college, they have sports information directors, the SID. I get with them and I run through the names and I see if there's any scratches, someone's not playing. I also, I like to, you know, make sure, see if they might know who's going to start, because I'd like to write it all out. So it's just a lot of, I always make sure I arrive 2 hours before a game or a match, just to get comfortable.
I want to stay just with, you said you are a stickler for pronouncing the players' names and checking in with sports information directors to make sure the names are pronounced correctly. Do you have a background or have a degree maybe in English education to help you with the articulation of how to enunciate a fake name or names?
I do not. My degree is journalism with an emphasis in radio, television, news. And I just always, I hate to say it comes natural, but it's just, and how I announce someone's name in a game, it's just in the moment. I don't know how it's going to come out. I listen to myself, and if it sounds good or if it sounds bad, I won't do it again, but it's kind of just free flow.
Okay. Awesome. And thank you so much for answering that question. And you've mentioned we talked about your preparation for big events. Let's talk about some of those events that you've worked on with the likes of, again, with the WNBA, with the Sacramento Monarchs, and then in the NBA working that specific game, Kings. You also mentioned about doing work with regional men's and women's basketball tournaments with the Pac-12, Sacramento Republic Football Club, just a ton of things that you've done. Can you just tell the listeners about some other major events that you've worked on?
Well, I mean, to me, the WNBA championship was a pretty big one. U.S. women's, the time that I got to do the U.S. women's national team game was great. The Final Four, that's hard to top. And of course, my NBA experience. I've emceed some running events, which is a lot of fun, a little easier. I've done NCAA men's regional in 2017. That was a Sweet 16 Elite Eight game. And I think I ended up getting that one through. Pac-12 was the host for it, so they asked me to do it. And it's interesting because a lot of the opportunities I've had, I can trace back to my time with the Sacramento Monarchs. So for me, that was the most and probably one of my most important jobs that I've ever gotten for PA announcing was when I took that job with the Monarchs, because people that I've worked with in that time have gone on to other places, have gone on to Pac-12, have gone on to the, you know, Sac Republic. And then that's how I got connected through Sac Republic, through that person. She connected me with the U.S. women's national team. So it's the opportunities. The College World Series was kind of a one-time thing for me. They needed a host that year, or a PA announcer that year. And again, hadn't done a lot of softball, hadn't really watched a lot of it, but I went to Oklahoma City, and that was a truly unique experience. But I think for me, working these Final Four, especially this last round, was so just, I still get teary-eyed. And when I hear the anthem too, just standing there and seeing all the bodies in the stands, and I just get, I get emotional. It still has that same thrill for me. It hasn't become just, another one. It's still just, each opportunity is still just as thrilling for me. And, I hope to do it for a long time. I still have other goals I want to achieve, and I'm going to be persistent until I can meet those goals. Final Four was definitely one of them on my professional bucket list, which I checked off. But now I want to go after the NFL, and I want to get into the Olympics. And somehow, some way, I will find a way to make that happen.
you definitely built up a body of work, and there's no doubt in my mind you're definitely going to achieve those goals sooner or later. And I want to stay just with the women's Final Four. Again, we talked about the ratings were through the roof, and we talked about just this could be a catalyst to take not just women's sports but women's basketball to the next level. I want to ask you about Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, two phenomenal players in their own special way. With Angel and Caitlin being in the forefront at the Women's Final Four and what's recently happened, where, in your opinion, is this going to take women's college basketball and women's sports to the next level, just in terms of the drama and the excitement and the competitiveness that they've presented?
You know, I think I'm curious to see what the numbers were for the men's tournament. I saw what they were for the women's. I also worked the regional in Seattle, so I got to see, Iowa ahead of going into the Final Four. And my first, time seeing LSU was at the Final Four, and of course the championship, which the drama just continued. And I mean, look, it's entertaining. I saw some of the best basketball I have ever seen. And if you even take it, it's only going to propel the sport. I expect to see the stage get bigger and bigger and bigger. I mean, my phone was blowing up, people that were watching the game, not just because they saw me, but they were blown away by Caitlin Clark. Was mind blowing. You know, it was tough to see her foul out. It was sad to see, just because I just enjoyed watching her make history. And I think obviously people tuned in for that, but they also tuned in to see what Coach Mulkey was wearing. I know I was looking forward to seeing what she was wearing. So I think part of that drama helps draw a crowd, and sometimes things like that happen. Now, the antics between the two, I think that, that's what men do it all the time. So I think it's just, it is what it is, but I also saw some pretty darn amazing basketball along with some of those antics.
Yeah, I think what we have to respect, as I stated earlier, is that level of competitiveness, and certainly, Angel doing what she does best, Caitlin doing what she does best, and it's just they do it for the sport, and it's all about the competitiveness of it. And I'm like you, it can only take it to new heights. And I want to transition now into when we talk about new heights with the dress announcer. And we know that in most people in broadcasting, as far as being a talent is concerned, they're so fixated on being on air in front of the camera, but also they don't know the voice behind the microphone, the one that's not necessarily seen a lot. When you think of maybe being a ring announcer or what you do as a public address announcer, they normally don't really see that as a viable career. But if somebody that is interested in being a PA announcer, what tips do you give for someone that's interested in becoming a public address announcer?
You know, if you want to become a public address announcer, I think you got to go for it. If you have the opportunity to get in, if you're at college, I say, you go for it. You try to start there. I can't say that how I did it, it would work for everyone. I just, I happened to be in broadcast already, and it just opened the door for me to get my foot in. But I would highly recommend anyone who's even, I don't know if that opportunity exists at a high school level, if that's something that they would let the kids do. But I think, honestly, in college, doing an internship was the best thing I ever did, because it's truly what got my foot into the door in broadcast. So just like with PA announcing, if you at your high school, at your college, have an opportunity to even shadow, and then maybe just, you got to be persistent, just spend some time behind a microphone and do it in your house. I mean, the equipment, the setting up my studio in my house, that wasn't that expensive. I mean, pretty much anyone can put it in. I built the soundproof thing myself. But I did it for under $1,000. I bought a Mac, I bought a mic. I bought all that stuff just to start out. And it just, you can practice and do it in your car, do it in the shower. But you just got to be persistent. And if opportunity presents itself, take it. Don't let fear stand between you and opportunity.
Great words of wisdom right there for anybody that's interested in wanting to pursue a career, getting into public address announcing. And Jamie, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Tell everybody where they can find you on any of the social media platforms and any websites. Let the listeners know that as well.
I do have a website. It is jamiecoffee.com, and that's J-A-I-M-E, and coffee like the drink. You can find me on Instagram. It's Coffee on the Mic. And Twitter and Facebook, super simple to find me. It's just Jamie Coffee.
Awesome. Before I let you go, do you have any messages or a message to anyone wanting to pursue or to achieve their dreams, and they may feel that they're kind of up against a roadblock or maybe facing some obstacles right now? Any message that you have for someone that's wanting to achieve their dreams, the floor is yours.
If you can believe it, you can achieve it. So just dream big. Be persistent. Keep your eyes on the prize. Do not let fear get in your way. You just face it head on. Show it who's boss. And keep dreaming. It'll happen.
Thank you so much. One more time, Jamie. Tell everybody where they can find you on social media and the website.
You can find me on my website, jamiecoffee.com. It's got links to Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
You heard it from her. She's Jamie Coffee, public address announcer for so many big events, including the 2023 NCAA Women's Basketball National Championship, countless Final Fours. Also, she did her thing with the WNBA's Sacramento Monarchs, and she made history on January 29th of 2014, becoming the first woman to serve as a public address announcer in the NBA for a Sacramento Kings game. And she's done so much, continuing to do things and all areas and facets, whether it be public address announcing projects, dealing with commercials, audio books, and she's doing it all. Jamie, thank you so much. And if ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We'll be back with more right after this.
Now time to send things over to Jamie Coffee.
And now, let me be LSU Tiger starter and 4'6" sophomore from Baltimore, Maryland, number 10, Angel Reese. And guard, a 5'10" freshman from Savannah, Georgia, number 4, Blase Johnson. And guard, a 5'6" fifth year senior from Beaumont, Texas, number 45, Alexis Morris. And now let's meet the starters for the Iowa Hawkeyes. At center, 6'3" grad student from Watertown, Minnesota, number 25, Monica Silano. And guard, a 5'9" senior from Cincinnati, Ohio, number 24, Gabby Marshall. And a guard, a 6-foot junior from West Des Moines, Iowa, number 22, Caitlin Clark. And introducing the head coaches for the LSU Tigers, Kim Mulkey.
Modern life is noisy. Noise is everywhere. Excessive noise is harmful, linked to sleep deprivation, hearing loss, and heart disease. Should noise be the price we pay for progress? Actually, no. Many noise sources have quieter options. Gas-powered landscaping equipment is obsolete, with battery-powered options greatly reducing noise and air pollution. Audible car alarms are obsolete, with vehicle immobilizers and GPS tracking providing silent anti-theft technologies. Quieter backup warning sounds are available, and adjustable directional sounds are less intrusive. So what can you do to reduce noise levels. Talk to store and building managers about safe sound levels. Work with elected officials and the police to strengthen noise enforcement. Join Noise Free America, a coalition to promote quiet.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. Once again, a big special thank you to Jamie Coffey, public address announcer that has worked major events such as the NCAA Women's Final Four, also the Pac-12 Men's and Women's Basketball Tournament, also Women's College World Series, just to name a few, including the WNBA Sacramento Monarchs, and becoming the first woman to serve as a public address announcer for an NBA game, working with the Sacramento Kings. Again, a big special thank you to Jamie. Until next time, everyone, remember, put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace.